are listening to the Sunday morning podcast of Derrida Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We pray you will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, I'm going to start with something everybody's really familiar with. Once upon a time. Don't you just love a story that starts like that? Don't you just love that? There's kind of a timelessness to it in telling the kind of a story that is kind of just out there. Once upon a time. It doesn't have to be in a certain place. It doesn't have to be in a certain location. Just once upon a time, I'm going to tell you a story. So I want you to let yourself in your hearts and your minds this morning go back to that time when you were much, much younger than you are today, where you just couldn't wait to hear a once upon a time story about heroes and dangers and a happy ending. Can we do that? That's what we're doing. We're going to talk about a story. Once upon a time, there was a young man who was about to learn an awful lot about loving and losing and eventually finding and releasing God's joy. You with me? So, some of us, this is a longer journey than others, but others, think back to the early 1950s. There's a young man who has served his country gladly in the Korean conflict. There may be, I don't know if there's any people here who remember that clearly and maybe have friends or a brother or a father who was in the Korean conflict. Now, this young man was a devout Catholic. He loved the Lord. But he had a deep, deep, deep faith and a proud Irish heritage. He was married to a young woman. They married before he got mustered over to Korea. They already had one son. They had a son before he had to go and be deployed. And she was a loving mother to that little boy. He served proudly in the Korean conflict, and he came home, and pretty soon there were two little boys in that home. And she kept the house, and she sang songs of her Irish heritage to those boys, and she taught them the prayers of faith, and they were in church. Very, very faithful, very, very faithful family. And the family was whole, and it was complete. And as in any good once upon a time story, a darkness appeared. And the young wife became pregnant for a third time. But this one was different. It was a very difficult pregnancy. And ladies, think back, those of us, the changes that have been made in prenatal care over the last 50 years have just been astounding. But back in the 50s, there wasn't a lot that they knew about developing babies. And difficult pregnancies could be life and death situations. A doctor told the couple that there was a very real chance that this baby would at best be unhealthy. And at worst, she might not make it the mother might not carry to term. And so there was a decision that had to be made. This was not an affluent family. Now, this was a working man. He was a mechanic. He worked at a gas station fixing cars. Remember when the gas stations actually had resident mechanics? Yeah. He worked hard, and she kept the family. She was a homemaker. And there were these two growing boys that they had to care for. So they started to pray. They started to pray. Now, once upon a time, there was another young man who was also about to learn a lot about loving, losing, and eventually finding and releasing God's joy. Quick flashback a little further to the early 1940s. A gangly New England farm boy from Vermont is drafted into the Army, and despite only a high school education, he was placed in the medical corps and trained to do emergency triage. That's a word we use now. You medical people, we know what triage is now. But in those days, he was a frontline medic who carried everything he could carry, all his medical supplies on his back in a backpack. And he was on the front lines with an infantry division in the South Pacific. He was at Guadalcanal. He was at Eniwetok. He was at Saipan. Those of you who've studied World War II know some of the most brutal fighting in the South Pacific. Now, he was a very devout Christian from the New England Congregational Church tradition. His mother was a teacher, not only in the church school, but she taught in the little community school in a one-room schoolhouse, and that's where he was educated. But he had a fervent love for Christ, and he witnessed to the other soldiers. He witnessed to his teammates, his tent mates, those that were in his battalion. And he had the strength of Vermont granite in his character. And he loved the Lord. Now, at the end of the war, he made it through. Not a scratch. Not a scratch on this young man. And he came home, and he'd been corresponding with this little Southern belle. And he came south, and he met this little Southern belle. And they fell in love. And they got married. And they waited for God to bless them with children to raise and nurture in the admonition and wisdom of the Lord. And they waited. And they waited. And they waited. And they prayed. Now, in every good story, the darkness always seems to be winning at one point in the story, right? Returning to the first young couple. They're at the hospital. The wife has gone into labor, and it's a very, very difficult labor. C-sections are done now by appointment. But in the 50s, that's major surgery. She's gone into labor more than a month early. The young father's sitting in the hallway and he's praying that God will give the doctors wisdom. The baby comes. Her lungs have not had time to fully develop, but there's no stopping this process. This baby's coming into the world. Now, again, when we talk about once upon a time stories, there's always a fairy godmother or, you know, there's some benevolent, good force that sort of swoops in with a magic wand or some pixie dust or, right? Yeah. Enter into this picture now at this hospital. A caseworker from the adoption agency that the first young couple had been talking with. Because of their faith, abortion was not an option. This baby was going to be carried to term. But they were terrified and scared about the options that were available to them. I'm going to tell you now there's divine intervention coming, but I don't want you to jump ahead of me too far. Okay? They're not affluent. They don't have a lot of money. They can't really afford, if this baby has to be kept in, basically in those days, it was kind of like an iron lung incubator. They don't have all the medications and things that they have today. It would destroy them. They didn't have any health insurance. Health insurance is pretty modern. you know? They knew they couldn't afford it, but they loved this child. She was a gift from God. But how do they care for this? This is something that can literally financially destroy this family. And everybody sitting here knows that when there are financial issues in a family, that can destroy a family. Not because you want it to destroy a family, but it does. Well, guess what was so special about this particular caseworker? She was working with this other young couple because they had been waiting and waiting and waiting for children. We're told children are a gift from God. They didn't come. They didn't come. And they prayed, and they prayed, and they started talking to this lady at what was the largest in that time, in this town, the largest adoption agency that was there. And she was a Christian, and she was praying for both of these families that God's will would be done. And the father calls, the first father, father of the baby, calls her and says, "The baby's here. We don't know what to do. Can you come and talk with us here at the hospital tonight?" And she did. She went after hours. Jeremy, thank you. How great is our God? After hours, it's past midnight. This young man is in tears. His wife is still being dealt with the doctors. It was a very difficult pregnancy. She was not in good shape. And the baby is over here in this incubator being forced, oxygen's being forced in. And they knelt in the hallway and they prayed. This tiny little baby, the tubes are too big to fit into her nose. That's how tiny she was. And they're afraid if they apply too much pressure, they might rupture those very underdeveloped lungs. And so the doctors say, "Here's the situation. We can continue to try to assist this, to assist her to live. But it's going to be very, very expensive. We can put her in a crib in the nursery and just basically wait for her to suffocate because she can't breathe. But we have to do something." I do not envy doctors their jobs. How do you tell a young family that? The caseworker pulls the young man aside and says, "I've been working with this other couple in town. And we've placed a baby boy with them about a year ago. But they want another child. They want a little girl so they can have a full family. Would you be willing to surrender this child? I brought the paperwork with me. And the hospital has an attorney that's here that can notarize it. Would you be willing to step out on faith as that God has put your two families in the same place at the same time?" I want to thank Kenny for singing "Jesus is Love." And she asked this young man to be strong and trust God. So she called the second couple. And she says, "Can you come down here? There's a baby girl, but I need to talk to you. There's a baby girl that we can start the paperwork tonight, but I need you here for me to talk to you." And so they rushed. And she took them down to this little room outside the delivery room where the baby was. This unbelievably tiny little human being that was bluish, because it wasn't getting much oxygen. even with all the enriched air being pumped in and out. She said, this is her. They looked at her. And they looked at each other and they clasped their hands. And the wife says, her name's going to be Rebecca. And now I get to tell you the best part of the story. See, the name of this is Three Roads to Joy. The first young father had to learn to lose. He loved that little girl, but he was going to lose her. So he had to be willing to surrender to God and trust God and let her go in order for him to find the joy for her. The second young man and his wife, already with a little boy, they had wanted children. They didn't have them. They found another way. God will always make a way. He always will make a way. And there's joy because now their family is complete. The first father, whom I never knew, gave me all the frailties of humanity. He gave me the Adamic nature of sin, the flaws and burdens of a sinful world were laid on me, this tiny little blue baby. And there was nothing he could do for me to fix that other than just give me earthly life. He couldn't fix me. He couldn't take away my problems. He couldn't heal what was wrong with me physically or spiritually, no matter how much he loved me. He was helpless. But he could let me go with joy, knowing that I would have a loving father who could take care of me. There's the first road. The second road, my adopted father could also do none of those things about fixing me. He couldn't fix me. He couldn't fix my body. He couldn't fix my soul. But God always has a plan. He was able to pay the medical bills. Sorry. And those went on for years. But he was able to. He got a good job with the United States Postal Service. He was able to shelter me. He was able to nurture me, to give me knowledge and to build on the character through teaching me how to live a life based on the love of Jesus. And I always knew from the very, very earliest that I remember that I was adopted, that I was chosen. I had been picked, even though there was something really bad wrong with me. And I loved hearing over and over again how I had been loved when I was unlovable. And when no one else could help me, he freely sacrificed to claim me as his. And oh, the joy that it brought him. He always said he wished my middle name had been Joy. But my middle name is my grandmother, his mother's name, Catherine. Most importantly, he taught me about my heavenly father, who was also calling me to be one of his. Over and over again, how I could be adopted into this great family of the body of Christ. And he wasn't a heavy theological teaching. Rebecca, you can be saved. No. It was the way he lived. Day by day, minute by minute. And in doing what he did, he created a thirst in me to experience what he had, the ultimate adoption. the ultimate adoption. And so one day, I was still fairly young. I might have been in first or second grade. It's still a little hazy. I don't think many of us remember first grade too well. But something welled up inside of me that at the same time was terribly frightening and scary, but it was also beautiful. And I ran in the house. I was out in the backyard, and I ran in the house, and I told my parents, somehow I got the words out, those beautiful words, I want God to be my father. I want to be adopted. I want to be his daughter. And gently and sweetly, we knelt by their bed. And they led me through the sinner's prayer. And it was done. Do you have that joy in you today? Do you know the thrill of the assurance of your adoption? I hope so. It's so easy to forget it in the day-to-day business of living and waiting. But I want you to know, my dear brother and sister, it's the most expensive adoption ever. Because it cost Jesus his life. But you know something? This is a legal contract God enters into with you. It is a legal binding. You are his child. It places you in heirship to his kingdom. So be joyful, my brothers and my sisters, for we are adopted by our Father. Father, we pray today that everyone in the sound of my voice knows that you are their Father, that we are all part of you for eternity, because you loved us when we were unlovable, and you are fixing us even though we don't know how to fix ourselves. We have the joy of knowing that we are yours. Not as we are, but despite how we are. You look beyond those things and you see us, your children. And so we lift our voices to you in the prayer that you taught us through your Son. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on the earth as it is in the heavens. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. Keep going, guys. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.